Cincinnati Public Radio and Cincinnati Shakespeare Company proudly present William Shakespeare's comedy, The Merry Wives of Windsor, adapted and directed for radio by Jeremy Dubin. The cast includes Jeffrey Warren Barnes II, Sarah Clark, Jeremy Dubin, Candace Handy, Cal Harris, Miranda McGee, and Brian Isaac Phillips. And now, sit back, relax, and enjoy The Merry Wives of Windsor.
Welcome to Windsor, a small town full of honest, hard-working people living quiet and peaceful lives. That is, until Sir John Falstaff arrived. This notoriously rowdy, rotund, and perpetually bankrupt knight rolled into town not long ago with his ne'er-do-well lackey Pistol, and they've been drinking, gambling, thieving, and generally raising a rumpus ever since. Their most recent victim, Robert Shallow, Esquire, has just woken up with some fuzzy memories of a booze-filled night in Falstaff and Pistol's company to find his head throbbing and his pockets picked. Indignant, he has tracked Falstaff down to the house of the good-hearted Master and Mistress Page.
Master Page, Master Page, I will make a star-chambered manner of it. If you were 20 Sir John Falstaffs, he shall not abuse Robert Shallow, Esquire. Master Page, Master Page!
Who's there?
Robert Shallow, Justice of the Peace.
Ah, I am glad to see your worship well, Master Shallow.
Master Page, is Sir John Falstaff here?
Sir, he is within, and I would I could do a good office between you.
He hath wronged me, Master Page. He hath wronged me. Robert Shallow, Esquire, saith he is wronged.
Here comes Sir John.
Oh, now, Master Shallow, you'll complain of me to the king.
Nat, you have beaten my men, killed my deer, and broke open my lodge.
But not kissed your keeper's daughter.
This shall be answered.
I will answer it straight. I have done all this. That is now answered. What matter else have you against me?
Merry sir, I have matter in my head against you and against your thieving, coney-catching rascal Pistol.
Pistol?
He is with ears.
Pistol, did you pick Master Shallow's purse?
I combat challenge of this dotering Bilbo. Word of denial, froth and scum thou liest.
By this hat you did, for though I cannot remember what I did when you made me drunk, yet I am not altogether an ass.
You hear all these matters denied, gentlemen. You hear it.
Oh, tis no matter. I'll ne'er be drunk whilst I live again, but in honest, civil, godly company, so God judge me.
From inside the house, where she has been preparing a repast for her company, appears Mistress Page, with her dear friend Mistress Ford by her side. Falstaff eyes both of them lasciviously, seemingly oblivious to their less than receptive reactions.
Mistress Ford, by my troth, you are very well met. By your leave, good mistress.
Wife, bid these gentlemen welcome. Come, gentlemen. I hope we shall drink down all unkindness.
The dinner is on the table. Will it please your worship to come in, sir?
Oh, I'll rather be unmannerly than troublesome. Pray you, lead the way.
After a dinner of venison and wine at the Pages, Falstaff and Pistol retire to the Garter Inn, where they are residing. Though Falstaff worries not for much longer, as his funds are rapidly dwindling.
Pistol!
What says, my knight?
I sit at £10 a week. I am almost out at heels. There is no remedy. I must coney catch. I must shift.
Young ravens must have food. The good humor is to steal at a minute's rest.
Know you, Master Ford of this town?
Kindlewhite. He is of good substance.
My honest lad, I will tell you what I am about.
2 yards and more?
No quips now, Pistol. Indeed, I am in the waist 2 yards about, but I am now about no waist. I am about thrift. Briefly, I do mean to make love to Ford's wife. I spy entertainment in her. She discourses, she carves, she gives the leer of invitation. Now, the report goes she has all the rule of her husband's purse. I have writ me here a letter to her, and here another to Master Page's wife, who even now gave me good eyes too, examined my parts with most judicious oleads. Sometimes the beam of her view gilded my foot, sometimes my portly belly.
Then did the sun on dunghill shine.
Here's another letter to her. She bears the purse too. They shall be my East and West Indies, and I will trade to them both. Go. Bear thou this letter to Mistress Page, and thou this to Mistress Ford. We will thrive, lad. We will thrive.
Lucifer, take all. I will run no base humors. Here, take the letters thyself. I am no panderess of Troy. I will keep the havior of reputation.
Huh. Robin?
Yes, sir.
Hold, sirrah. Bear you these letters tightly.
Yes, sir.
As to you, Pistol, hence, avaunt, vanish like hailstones. Go, trudge, I turn thee away. Seek shelter, pack. What need I more than myself and little Robin?
With that, Falstaff trundles from the room with Robin in tow, leaving a suddenly unemployed Pistol behind.
Let vultures gripe thy guts. I have operations which be humors of revenge. I will discuss the humor of this love to Master Page, and I to Ford shall eke unfold Falstaff, varlet vile. His dove will prove, his gold will hold, and his soft bed defile.
Back at the Page household, Mistress Page finds she has been delivered a most curious cologne-drenched letter.
What? Have I scaped love letters in the holiday time of my beauty, and I now a subject for them? Let me see. Ask me no reason why I love you. You are not young. No more am I. Go to, then, there's sympathy. You are merry. So am I. Ha, ha. Then there's more sympathy. You love sack, and so do I. Would you desire better sympathy? Let it suffice thee, Mistress Page, at the least, if the love of soldier can suffice, that I love thee. I will not say pity me. 'Tis not a soldier-like phrase, but I say love me. By me, thine own true knight, by day or night, or any kind of light, with all his might, for thee to fight, John Falstaff. Oh, what? Wicked world! What an unweighed behavior hath this Flemish drunkard picked, with the devil's name, out of my conversation, that he dares in this manner assay me. What should I say to him? Why, I'll exhibit a bill in the Parliament for the putting down of men.
What ho, Mistress Page!
Mistress Page opens the door to find a visibly shaken Mistress Ford bearing a very familiar-looking letter.
How now, Mistress Ford? You look very ill.
Oh, Mistress Page, give me some counsel.
What's the matter, woman?
Here, read, read! I shall think the worse of fat men as long as I have an eye to make difference of men's liking. What tempest, I trow, through this whale with so many tons of oil in his belly ashore at Windsor? How shall I be revenged on him? Did you ever hear the like?
Letter for letter, but that the name of Page and Ford differs. To thy great comfort in this mystery of ill opinions, here's the twin brother of thy letter. I warrant he hath 1,000 of these letters, writ with blank space for different names. Sure, more! Well, I will find you 20 lascivious turtles ere one chaste man.
This is the very same. The very hand, the very word. What doth he think of us?
Nay, I know not. For sure, unless he know some strain in me that I know not myself, he would never have boarded me in this fury.
Boarding, call you it. I'll be sure to keep him above deck.
Ooh. Let's be revenged on him. Let's appoint him a meeting, give him a show of comfort and hope in his suit, and lead him on with a fine baited delay.
Nay, I will consent to act any villainy against him. that it may not sully the chariness of our honesty.
Oh, who shall be our messenger to this paltry knight?
Would not Mistress Quickly serve the turn?
Mistress Quickly, well thought on. She'll fit it. We'll send for her to have an hour's talk.
Oh, that my husband saw this letter. It would give eternal food to his jealousy.
Look where your husband comes. And my good man, too. He's as far from jealousy as I am from giving him cause.
You are the happier woman. But let's go in and consult together against this greasy knight. For revenged we will be on him, as sure as his guts are made of puddings.
With that, the ladies retire into the house just as their husbands, Master Ford and Master Page, approach. In their company is Pistol, who, true to his word, has informed them of Falstaff's lecherous intentions toward their wives.
Well, I hope it be not so.
Hope is a curdled dog in some affairs, Ford. Sir John affects your wives.
Why, sir? My wife is not young.
He woos both high and low, Ford, both rich and poor, both young and old. One with another, prevent or... Ho, 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 odious is the name.
What name, sir?
Cuckold, I say. Take heed. Have open eye, for thieves do foot by night. Believe it, Page. I speak sense, Ford. Falstaff loves your wives, and there's the humor of it. Adieu.
I will be patient. I will find out this.
How now, Master Ford?
You heard what this knave told us, did you not?
I will not believe such a rascal, though the priest of the town commended him for a true man.
What, do you not think there could be truth in him?
Oh, hang him, slave. I do not think the knight would offer it. But this that accuses him in his intent towards our wives is his discarded man, a very rogue, now he be out of the knight's service.
I like it never the better for that. Falstaff lies at the Garter, does he not?
Aye, marry, does he. If he should intend this voyage towards my wife, I would turn her loose to him, and what he gets more of her than sharp words, let it lie on my head.
Oh, I do not misdoubt my wife, but I would be loath to turn them together. A man may be too confident.
Look where my ranting host of the Garter comes. How now, mine host?
How now, Billy Rook? Thou art the gentleman.
Master Page, go on ahead. I'll follow you. Good, mine host of the Garter, a word with you.
What sayest thou, my Billy Rook? Hast thou a suit against my guest, Sir John Falstaff?
Oh, none, I protest. But I'll give you a bottle of good wine to give me recourse to him. And tell him my name is Master Brook. Only for a jest.
My hand, Billy. Thou shalt have egress and regress, say I will, and thy name shall be Master Brook. It is a merry jest, and so farewell.
Though Page be a secure fool, and stand so firmly on his wife's frailty, yet I cannot put off my opinion so easily. I will look further into it, and I have a disguise to sound Falstaff. If I find her honest, I lose not my labor. If she be otherwise... 'Tis labor well bestowed.
Back at the Garter Inn, Falstaff is about to receive a most interesting visitor. It is Mistress Quickly, the town gossip, who, unbeknownst to Falstaff, has been recruited by Mistress Ford and Mistress Page to serve as go-between in their delightfully devious scheme of revenge.
Sir, there's a Mistress Quickly here would speak with ye.
Let her approach.
Give your worship good morrow. Shall I... vouchsafe your worship a word or two?
Oh, 2,000, fair woman.
There is one Mistress Ford, sir. I pray, come a little nearer this way.
Oh, I warrant thee, nobody hears. Mistress Ford, you say. What of her?
Mary, this is the short and the long of it. You have brought her into such a canaries as 'tis wonderful. The best courtier of them all could never have brought her to such a canary.
What says she to me? Be brief, my good she-mercury.
Mary, she hath received your letter for the witch. She thanks you 1,000 times, and she gives you to notify that her husband will be absent from his house between 10 and 11.
10 and 11?
Aye, forsooth. And then you may come and see the picture, she says, that you wot of. Master Ford, her husband, will be from home. Alas, the sweet woman leads an ill life with him. He is a very jealousy man.
10 and 11. Woman, commend me to her. I will not fail her.
Why, say you well. But I have another messenger to your worship. Mistress Page hath her hearty commendations to you too, and she bade me tell your worship that her husband is seldom from home, but she hopes there will come a time.
But I pray thee, tell me this. Has Ford's wife and Page's wife acquainted each other how they love me?
Oh, that were a jest indeed. They have not so little grace, I hope. That were a trick indeed. But Mistress Page would desire you to send her your little servant, Robin. And look you, he may come and go between you both.
Robin.
Yes, sir.
Go along with this woman.
Yes, sir.
Fare thee well.
Fare thee well. Mistress Ford and Mistress Page. Oh, have I encompassed you? Go to, old Jack. Ha! Go thy ways. I'll make more of this old body than I have done. Oh, good body, I thank thee.
Sir John, there's one Master Brooke below would fain speak with you and be acquainted with you and has sent your worship a morning stretch of sack.
Brooke is his name?
Aye, Sir John.
Call him in. Such brooks are welcome to me that overflows such liquor.
The host soon returns, and with him is none other than Master Ford, though he has donned a cunning disguise, and presents himself to Falstaff as one Master Brooke.
Bless you, sir.
And you, sir? Would you speak with me? Give us leave, mine host.
Sir, my name is Brooke.
Good Master Brooke. I desire more acquaintance of you.
Oh, good Sir John, I sue for yours. This gold I bring hath something emboldened me to this unseasoned intrusion. For they say, if money go before, all ways do lie open.
Oh, money is a good soldier, sir, and will on.
Troth, and I have a bag of money here troubles me. If you will help to bear it, Sir John, take all, or half, for easing me of the carriage.
Sir, I know not how I may deserve to be your porter.
Sir, I will be brief with you. There is a gentlewoman in this town. Her husband's name is Master Ford.
Well, sir?
I have long loved her and bestowed many gifts upon her, followed her with a doting observance. Briefly, I have pursued her as love hath pursued me. But whatsoever I have given her, return of my affection, I am sure I have received none.
You have received no promise of satisfaction at her hands?
Never, for she claims to be honest and faithful to her husband.
To what purpose have you unfolded this to me?
Sir John, here is the heart of my purpose. You are a gentleman of excellent breeding.
No.
Admirable discourse, of great admittance, authentic in your place and person, generally allowed for your many warlike, courtlike, and learned qualities.
Oh, sir.
Believe it, for you know it. There is money. Spend it. Spend it. Spend more. Spend all I have. Only give me so much of your time in exchange of it as to lay an amiable siege to the honesty of this Ford's wife. Use your art of wooing. Win her to consent to you. If any man may, you may as soon as any.
Would it apply well to the vehemency of your affection that I should win what you would enjoy? Methinks you prescribe to yourself very preposterously.
Oh, understand my drift. She dwells so securely on her honesty that my pursuit hath been in vain. But could I come to her with proof of her wantonness in hand, my desires had instance and arguments to commend themselves. I could drive her then from the ward of her purity, her reputation, her marriage vow, and a thousand other her defenses, which now are too strongly embattled against me. What say you to it, Sir John?
Master Brooke, I will first make bold with your money. Ha! Next. Give me your hand. And last, as I am a gentleman, you shall, if you will, enjoy Ford's wife.
Oh, good sir.
Master Brooke, I shall be with her, I may tell you, by her own appointment. Even as you came in to me, her assistant, or go-between, parted from me. I say I shall be with her between 10 and 11. For at that time, the jealous, rascally knave, her husband, will be forth. Come you to me at night, you shall know how I speed.
I am blessed in your acquaintance. Do you know Ford, sir?
Hang him, poor cuckoldy knave. I know him not, yet I wrong him to call him poor. They say the jealous, whittly knave hath masses of money, for the which his wife seems to me well favored. I will use her as the key of the cuckoldy rogue's coffer, and there's my harvest home.
I would you knew Ford, sir, that you might avoid him if you saw him.
Hang him, mechanical salt-butter rogue. Master Brooke, thou shalt know I will predominate over the peasant, and thou shalt lie with his wife. Ford's a knave, Master Brooke, and thou shalt know him for a cuckold. I must away. Come to me soon at night.
Who says this is improvident jealousy? My wife hath sent to him. The hour is fixed. The match is made. Oh, see the hell of having a false woman. My bed shall be abused. My coffers ransacked. My reputation gnawn at. Cuckold? The devil himself hath not such a name. Page is an ass, a secure ass. He will trust his wife. He will not be jealous. I'd rather trust a Fleming with my butter, a Welshman with my cheese, an Irishman with my whiskey, than my wife with herself. 11 o'clock the hour? I will prevent this. Detect my wife, be revenged on Falstaff, and laugh at Page. I will about it. Better 3 hours too soon than a minute too late.
Rushing back towards his house, who should Ford encounter in the streets but Mistress Page, with Falstaff's boy Robin by her side.
Oh, well met, Mistress Page. Whither go you?
Truly, Master Ford, to see your wife. Is she at home?
Aye, and as idle as she may hang together for want of company. I think if your husbands were dead, you two would marry.
Be sure of that. Two other husbands.
Where had you this pretty weathercock?
Oh, I cannot tell what the dickens his name is my husband had him of. What do you call your knight's name, sirrah?
Sir John Falstaff.
Sir John Falstaff!
He. I can never hit on's name. There is such a league between my good man and he. Is your wife at home indeed?
Indeed she is.
By your leave, sir. I am sick till I see her.
Hath Page any brains? Hath he any eyes? Oh, good plots. They are laid, and our revolted wives share damnation together. The clock gives me my cue, and my assurance bids me search, for it is as positive as the earth is firm that Falstaff is there. Oh, but who comes here?
Well met, Master Ford.
Master Shallow, Master Page, trust me, a good knot. I have good cheer at home, and I pray you both go with me.
Oh, I must excuse myself, Master Ford.
Oh, I beseech you heartily, go home with me to dinner. Besides your cheer, you shall have sport. I will show you a monster.
Ooh.
Will you go, gentles?
Have with you to see this monster.
Meanwhile, back at Ford's house, Mistress Ford and Mistress Page are gleefully making preparations for Falstaff's arrival.
Come.
Here, set it down.
Have you given your servants the charge?
Mary, I have told them to be ready here, hard by in the brew house. And when I suddenly call them, to come forth, and without any pause or staggering, take this laundry basket, trudge with it in all haste, and carry it among the Whitesters in Datchet Mead, and there, empty it in the muddy ditch close by the Thames side.
They will do it.
I have told them over and over. They lack no direction.
Oh, here comes little Robin.
How now, Robin? What news with you?
My master, Sir John, is come in at your back door.
I'll go hide me.
Do so. Go, Robin, tell thy master I am alone. Mistress Page,
Remember you your cue.
I warrant thee. If I do not act it, hiss me.
Go to then. We'll use this unwholesome humidity, this gross, watery pumpkin. We'll teach him to know turtles from jays.
Mistress Page ducks out of view just as Falstaff strides through the door, striking what he presumably believes to be a seductive pose.
Oh, have I caught thee, my heavenly jewel? Why, now let me die, for I have lived long enough. This is the period of my ambition. Oh, this blessed hour.
Oh, sweet Sir John.
Oh, Mistress Ford. I cannot cog. I cannot prate, Mistress Ford. Now shall I sin in my wish? I would thy husband were dead. I'll speak it before the best lord. I would make thee my lady.
I your lady, Sir John? Alas, I should be a pitiful lady.
By the Lord, thou art a traitor to say so. Thou wouldst make an absolute courtier.
Believe me, there is no such thing in me.
What made me love thee? Let that persuade thee that there's something extraordinary in thee. I love thee, none but thee, and thou deservest it.
Do not betray me, sir. I fear you love Mistress Page.
Oh, thou might as well say I love to walk by the counter gate, which is as hateful to me as the reek of a lime kiln.
Oh, well, heaven knows how I love you, and you shall one day find it.
Oh, keep in that mind. I'll deserve it.
Whoa, Sir John! Mistress Ford! Mistress Ford! Here's Mistress Page at the door, sweating and blowing and looking wildly, and would need speak with you presently.
She shall not see me. I will ensconce me behind the arras.
Say you do so. She's a very tattling woman. Mistress Ford!
How now, Mistress Page? What's the matter?
Oh, Mistress Ford, what have you done? You're shamed. You're overthrown. You're undone forever.
What's the matter, good Mistress Page?
Oh, well-a-day, Mistress Ford. Your husband's coming hither, woman, with all the officers in Windsor to search for a gentleman that he says is here now in the house by your consent to take an ill advantage of his absence. You are undone.
'Tis not so, I hope.
Pray heaven it be not so that you have such a man here, but 'tis most certain your husband's coming with half Windsor at his heels to search for such a one. I come before to tell you. If you know yourself clear, why, oh, I am glad of it. But if you have a friend here, convey him out. Be not amazed. Call all your senses to you. Defend your reputation, or bid farewell to your good life forever.
What shall I do? There is a gentleman, my dear friend. And I fear not mine own shame so much as his peril. I had rather than £1,000 he were out of the house.
For shame! Never stand you had rather and you had rather. Your husband's here at hand. Bethink you of some conveyance. In the house you cannot hide him. Oh, look.
Huh?
Here is a basket. If he be of any reasonable stature, he may creep in here and throw foul linen upon him as if it were going to bucking. Or, it is whiting time, send him by your two men to dash at me.
He's too big to go in there. What shall I do?
Let me see it. Let me see it. Oh, let me see it. I'll in. Follow your friend's counsel. I'll in.
What? Sir John Falstaff? Are these your letters, knight?
I love thee. Help me away. Let me creep in here. I'll never... No, wait, stop, wait. No,
help no, to no, cover no. Your master, Robin. Call your men, Mistress Ford. You dissembling knight.
What, John? Robert, John!
Yes, ma'am.
Go, take up these clothes here, quickly.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh. Oh, look how you drumble. Carry them to the laundress and dash at Mead. Quickly, come.
With considerable effort, the servants manage to hoist the basket between them and totter towards the front door. Just as they reach it, it bursts open to reveal Master Ford, with Masters Page and Shallow standing close behind. He eyes the basket blocking his way.
How now? Whither bear you this?
To the laundress, forsooth.
Well, off with you then.
Why Why, what have you to do whither they were bearing it? You are best meddle with buck washing.
Buck? I would I could wash myself of the buck. 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 And of the season, too, it shall appear. Master Shallow, Master Page, here be my keys. Ascend my chambers, search, seek, find out. I warrant will on kennel a fox.
Good Master Ford, be contented. You wrong yourself too much.
True, Master Page. Up, gentlemen, you shall see sport anon. Follow me, gentlemen.
Ooh, this is all very fantastical jealousy.
Follow him, Master Shallow. See the issue of his search.
Page and Shallow follow Ford upstairs into his chambers and begin a thorough search of the premises, leaving the ladies alone to confer.
Is there not a double excellency in this?
I know not which pleases me better, that my husband is deceived or Sir John.
Oh, what a taking was he in when your husband asked who was in the basket.
I am half afraid he will have need of washing, so throwing him into the water will do him a benefit.
Hang him, dishonest rascal. I would all of the same strain were in the same distress.
I think my husband hath some special suspicion of Falstaff's being here, for I never saw him so gross in his jealousy till now.
I will lay a plot to try that, and we will yet have more tricks with Falstaff. His dissolute disease will scarce obey this medicine.
Shall we send that foolish carrion, Mistress Quickly, to him, and excuse his throwing into the water, and give him another hope to betray him to another punishment?
We will do it! Let him be sent for tomorrow, 8 o'clock, to have amends.
Huh. I cannot find him. Maybe the knave bragged of that he could not compass.
Heard you that? You use me well, Master Ford, do you?
Aye, I do so.
Heaven make you better than your thoughts.
Amen.
You do yourself mighty wrong, Master Ford.
Aye, I must bear it.
If there be anybody in this house, heaven forgive my sins at the day of judgment, there is nobody.
Fie, Master Ford. Are you not ashamed? What spirit, what devil suggests this imagination? I would not have your distemper in this kind for the wealth of Windsor Castle.
'Tis my fault, Master Page. I suffer for it.
You suffer for a bad conscience. Your wife is as honest a woman as I will desire among 5,000.
Well, I promised you a dinner. Come, and I pray you pardon me. I will hereafter make known to you why I have done this. Come, wife, I pray you pardon me. Pray heartily, pardon me.
Let's go in, but trust me. We'll mock him.
Pray you go, masters.
They all go in to dinner, where, as promised, Ford is roundly mocked for his irrationally jealous ways. Meanwhile, the servants fulfill their instructions to the letter, dumping the contents of the basket into the mucky, murky, muddy water of the Thames. Later on, a very soggy Falstaff returns to his rooms at the Garter Inn.
Have I lived to be carried in a basket, like a barrow of butcher's offal, and to be thrown in the Thames? Well, if I be served such another trick, I'll have my brains ta'en out and buttered and give them to a dog for a New Year's gift. The rogue slighted me into the river with as little remorse as they would have drowned a blind bitch's puppies. 15 in the litter! And you may know by my size that I have a kind of alacrity in sinking. If the bottom were as deep as hell, I should down. I had been drowned, a death that I abhor, for the water swells a man. And what a thing should I have been when I had been swelled. I should have been a mountain of mummy.
There's Mistress Quickly, sir, to speak with you.
Let me pour in some ale to the Thames water, for my belly's as cold as if I had swallowed snowballs.
With eggs, sir?
Simple of itself. I'll no pullet sperm in my brewage. Now, call her in and leave us.
Come in, woman.
By your leave, I cry you mercy. Give your worship good morrow. Mary, sir, I come to your worship from Mistress Ford.
Mistress Ford. I have had Ford enough. I was thrown into the Ford. I have my belly full of Ford.
Alas the day. Good heart, that was not her fault. She does so take on with her men. They mistook their erection.
So did I mine. To build upon a foolish woman's promise.
Well, she laments, sir, for it, that it would yearn your heart to see it. Her husband goes this morning a-birding. She desires you once more to come to her between 8 and 9. I must carry her word quickly. She'll make you amends, I warrant you.
Well, I will visit her, tell her so, and bid her think what a man is. Let her consider his frailty, and then judge of my merit.
I will tell her. Peace be with you, sir. Farewell.
I marvel I hear not of Master Brooke. He sent me word to stay within. I like his money well. Oh, here he comes.
Bless you, Sir John.
Now, Master Brooke, you come to know what hath passed between me and Ford's wife.
That indeed, Sir John, is my business.
Master Brooke, I will not lie to you. I was at her house the hour she appointed me.
And how sped you, sir?
Very ill-favoredly, Master Brooke.
Oh, how so, sir? Did she change her determination?
No, Master Brooke. But the peaking Coronato, her husband, Master Brooke, dwelling in a continual larum of jealousy, comes me in the instant of our encounter, after we had embraced, protested, and, as it were, spoke the prologue of our comedy, to search his house for his wife's love.
What? While you were there?
While I was there.
And did he search for you and could not find you?
You shall hear. As good luck would have it, comes in one Mistress Page, gives intelligence of Ford's approach, and in her invention and Ford's wife's distraction, they conveyed me into a buck basket.
A buck basket.
By the Lord, a buck basket. Rammed me in with foul shirts and smocks, socks, foul stockings, greasy napkins that, Master Brooke, there was the rankest compound of villainous smell that ever offended nostril. Being thus crammed in the basket, a couple of Ford's knaves, his hinds, were called forth by their mistress to carry me in the name of foul clothes to Datchet Lane. They took me on their shoulders, met the jealous knave their master in the door, who asked them once or twice what they had in their basket. I quaked for fear, lest the lunatic knave would have searched it. But fate, ordaining he should be a cuckold, held his hand. Ha! Well, on went he for a search, and away went I for foul clothes, half stewed in grease like a Dutch dish. To be thrown into the Thames, think of that, Master Brooke.
In good sadness, I am sorry that for my sake you have suffered all this. My suit then is desperate. You'll undertake her no more?
Master Brooke, I will be thrown into Etna as I have been into Thames ere I will leave her thus. Oh. Her husband is this morning gone abroad. Birding! I have received from her another embassy of meeting. Twixt 8 and 9 is the hour, Master Brooke.
Well, 'tis past 8 already, sir.
Oh, is it? I will then address me to my appointment. Come to me at your convenient leisure, and you shall know how I speed. And the conclusion shall be crowned with you enjoying her. Adieu. You shall have her, Master Brooke. Master Brooke, you... You shall cuckold Ford.
This tis to be married. This tis to have linen and buck baskets. Well, I will now take the lecher. He is at my house. He cannot escape me. Tis impossible he should. Oh, he cannot creep into a halfpenny purse nor into a pepper box. But I will search impossible places.
Once again, both Falstaff and Ford are bound for the Ford household, where the ladies are once again making preparations. Determined to have witnesses to what he's sure will be his vindication, Ford stops off to collect Masters Page and Shallow, allowing Falstaff to arrive at his destination first.
Mistress Ford, your sorrow hath eaten up my sufferance. I see you are obsequious in your love, and I profess requital to a hair's breadth. But are you sure of your husband now?
He's a birding, sweet Sir John.
A birding! Well.
What ho, Gossip Ford! What ho!
Step behind the arras, Sir John!
Oh, no, not again!
How now, sweetheart? Who's at home besides yourself?
Why, none but mine own people.
Indeed!
No, certainly! Speak louder!
Truly, I am so glad you have nobody here.
Why?
Why, woman, your husband is in his old loons again. He so takes on yonder with my husband, so rails against all married mankind, that any madness I ever yet beheld seemed but tameness, civility, and patience to this, his distemper he is in now. I am glad the fat knight is not here.
Why does he talk of him?
Of none but him, and swears he was carried out, the last time he searched for him, in a basket. I am glad the knight is not here. Now he shall see his own foolery.
I am undone. The knight is here.
Why, then, you are utterly shamed, and he's but a dead man. What a woman are you! Away with him! Away with him! Better shame than murder.
Which way should he go? How should I bestow him? Shall I put him into the basket again?
No, I'll come no more in the basket. May I not go out ere he come?
Alas, three of Master Ford's brothers watch the door with pistols, that none shall issue out.
Oh, what shall I do?
If you go out in your own semblance, you die, Sir John. Unless you go out disguised.
How might we disguise him?
Alas, the day, I know not. There is no woman's gown big enough for him. Otherwise, he might put on a hat, a muffler, and a kerchief, and so escape.
My maid's aunt, the fat woman of Brentford, has a gown above.
On my word, it will serve him. She's as big as he is. And there's her thrummed hat and her muffler, too. Oh, run up, Sir John.
Any extremity rather than a mischief.
Quick, quick! We'll come dress you straight.
Husband would meet him in this shape. He cannot abide the old woman of Brentford. He swears she's a witch, forbade her my house, and hath threatened to beat her.
Heaven guide him to thy husband's cudgel, and the devil guide his cudgel afterwards.
But is my husband indeed coming?
Ah, in good sadness is he, and talks of the basket too, howsoever he hath had intelligence. He'll be here presently. Let's go dress Sir John
like the witch of Brentford.
Hang him, dishonest varlet. We cannot misuse him enough. We'll leave a proof by that which we will do. Wives may be merry, and yet honest, too.
Robert! John!
Yes, ma'am.
Go, take the basket again on your shoulders. Your master is hard adore. If he bid you set it down, obey him. Quickly, dispatch!
Pray heaven it be not full of night again.
I had his leaf bear so much lead.
Prepared for another excruciatingly hefty load, the servants nearly toss the Falstaffless basket through the ceiling. Recovering, and sighing with relief, they tote the blessedly light basket towards the door, which once again bursts open just as they reach it to reveal a nearly apoplectic Master Ford, with an embarrassed-looking page in Shallow close behind.
Set down the basket, villain! Somebody call my wife. Oh, you panderly rascals. There's a knot, a pack, a conspiracy against me. What, wife, I say, come forth. Behold what honest clothes you send forth to bleaching.
Why, this passes, Master Ford. You are not to go loose any longer. You must be pinioned.
Why, this is lunatic. This is mad as a mad dog.
Indeed, Master Ford. This is not well, indeed.
So say I too, sir.
Why, how now?
Mistress Ford, the honest woman, the modest wife, the virtuous creature that hath a jealous fool to her husband. I suspect without cause, mistress, do I?
Heaven be my witness, you do, if you suspect me in any dishonesty.
Oh, well said, brazen face. Hold it out. Come forth, sirrah.
With that, Ford plunges headlong into the laundry basket, frantically tossing out garments in his search.
This passes!
Are you not ashamed? Let the clothes alone!
I shall find you anon!
'Tis unreasonable. Will you take up your wife's clothes? Come away.
Empty the basket, I say!
Why, man? Why?
Master Page, as I am a man, there was one conveyed out of my house yesterday in this basket to pluck me out all the linen.
There's no man.
By my fidelity, this is not well, Master Ford. This wrongs you.
Well, he's not here I seek for.
No, nor nowhere else but in your brain.
Help to search my house this one last time.
Lord.
If I find not what I seek, let me forever be your table sport. Satisfy me once more search with me.
What ho, Mistress Page? Come you and the old woman down. My husband will come into the chamber.
Old woman? What old woman's that?
Nay, it is my mate's aunt of Brentford.
A witch! An old cousining queen! Have I not forbid her my house? Oh, come down, you witch! You hag! Come down, I say!
At the top of the stairs, Mistress Page appears, leading by the hand poor Sir John, unrecognizable in the voluminous dress and thick scarf into which he has been stuffed.
Come, Mother Pratt, come. Give me your hand.
Oh, dear, thank you so much.
I'll prat her.
No,
out of my door, you witch, you hag, you baggage, you poo-hat, you runyon, out!
Are you not ashamed? I think you have killed the poor woman.
Hang her, witch. Now, will you help me search, gentlemen? I beseech you, see but the issue of my jealousy.
Let's obey his humor a little further. Come.
The manic Master Ford, trailed reluctantly by Page and Shallow, trudge once more up the stairs to search the chambers, leaving the ladies again alone.
Oh, trust me, he beat him most pitifully.
Nay, by the mass that he did not, he beat him most unpitifully, methought.
I'll have the cudgel hallowed and hung o'er the altar. It hath done meritorious service. Sir John will never, I think, attempt us again.
Shall we tell our husbands how we have served him?
Yes, by all means. If they can find it in their hearts the poor unvirtuous fat knight shall be any further afflicted, we two will still be the ministers.
I warrant they'll have him publicly shamed. And methinks there would be no period to the jest should he not be publicly shamed.
Come to the forge with it, then. Shape it. I would not have things cool.
Confident that both Falstaff and Ford have learned their lessons, the ladies finally reveal the machinations of their plot to their dumbfounded husbands, who are in equal parts astonished and delighted at their wives' devious chicanery.
And did he send you both these letters at an instant?
Within a quarter of an hour.
Pardon me, wife. Henceforth, do what thou wilt. I will rather suspect the sun with cold than thee with wantonness.
Tis well, no more. But let our plot go forward. We'll once again, to make us public sport, appoint a meeting with this old fat fellow where we may take him and disgrace him for it.
Fie, fie, he'll never come.
Defies but how you'll use him when he comes, and let us two devise to bring him thither.
Mm-hmm. There is an old tale goes that Herne the Hunter, sometime a keeper here in Windsor Forest, doth all the winter time at still midnight walk round about an oak with great ragged horns. You have heard of such a spirit.
Why, yet there want not many that do fear in deep of night to walk by this Herne's oak. But what of this?
Marry, this is our device, that Falstaff at the oak shall meet with us, disguised like Herne, with huge horns on his head.
And in this shape, when you have brought him thither, what shall be done with him? What is your plot?
That likewise have we thought upon, and thus, you, husband, and good Master Ford, and three or four more, will dress like fairies, green and white, with rounds of waxen tapers in your hands. As Falstaff, she and I are newly met, let you from forth a saw-pit rush at once with some diffused song. Upon your sight, we two in great amazedness will fly. Then let you all encircle him about, and fairy-like
to pinch the unclean knight and ask him why that hour of fairy revel in your so sacred paths he dares to tread in shape profane.
And till he tell the truth, let all the supposed fairies pinch him sound and burn him with their tapers.
The truth being known, we'll all present ourselves, dishorn the spirit, and mock him home to Windsor.
That will be excellent.
Mistress Quickly shall be the queen of all the fairies, finely attired in a robe of white.
That silk will I go buy.
We'll send Mistress Quickly to Sir John to know his mind.
Back at the Garter Inn, a bruised, battered, and thoroughly bad-tempered Falstaff peels off the gown in which he made his escape.
I would all the world might be cousined. For I have been cousined and beaten too. Well, if my wind were but long enough to say my prayers, I would repent.
What ho, Sir John?
Oh, now, whence come you?
From the two parties, forsooth.
The devil take one party and his damn the other. I have suffered more for their sakes, more than the villainous inconstancy of man's disposition is able to bear.
And have not they suffered? Yes, I warrant. Speciously one of them, Mistress Ford, good heart, is beaten black and blue, that you cannot see a white spot on her.
What tellest thou me of black and blue? I was beaten myself into all the colors of the rainbow.
Sir, let me speak with you in your chamber. You shall hear how things go. Here is a letter will say somewhat, and I warrant, to your content.
Prithee, no more prattling. I'll go. This is the third time. I hope good luck lies in odd numbers. Away.
With hope of a carnal encounter finally coming to culmination, Falstaff follows the directions laid out in the letter, dressing up as the famed forest spirit, Herne the Hunter, complete with pronged horns on his head. Midnight finds him anxiously awaiting at the appointed rendezvous spot deep in the Windsor Woods.
The Windsor bell hath struck 12. The minute draws on. Now, the hot-blooded gods assist me. I am here a Windsor stag, and the fattest, I think, in the forest. Send me a cool rut time, Jove, or who can blame me to piss my tallow? Who comes here? My doe?
Sir John, art thou there, my dear? My male dear?
Oh, my doe with the black scut!
Let the sky rain potatoes! Let it thunder to the tune of greensleeves. I will shelter me here.
Mistress Page is come with me, sweetheart.
Divide me like a bry buck, each a haunch, and my horns I bequeath your husbands.
Am I a woodsman? Speak I like Herne the Hunter? Why, now is Cupid a child of conscience. He makes restitution.
Alas, what noise! Heaven forgive our sins! Away! Away!
I think the devil will not have me damned, lest the oil that's in me should set hell on fire. He would never else cross me thus.
The ladies having fled, Falstaff finds himself alone in the forest and is suitably shocked when he sees fantastical figures bearing waxen tapers emerging from the trees. In their outlandish fairy disguises, Falstaff fails to recognize Mistress Quickly, Master Ford, Master Page, and the other denizens of Windsor.
Harry! Black, gray, green, and white! You moonshine revelers and shades of night! To Windsor chimney shalt thou leap! There pinch the maids as blue as bilberries! Our radiant queen hates sluts and sluttery!
Slutteries!
They are fairies! He that speaks to them shall die! I'll wink and couch. No man their works must I.
Stay! I smell a man of middle earth.
Oh. Heavens defend me!
Vile worm.
Corrupt and tainted in desire.
The counterfeit fairies surround the cowering Falstaff, pinching him and burning him with the ends of their waxen tapers. Just as it seems Falstaff is about to tip over in terror, Mistress Ford and Mistress Page reemerge from the woods, clearly amused. The laughing fairies remove their disguises as the wives call a merciful end to the prank.
I pray you come, hold up the jest no higher. Now, good Sir John, how like you Windsor wives? See you these, husband? Do not these fair yokes become the forest better than the town?
Now, sir, who's a cuckold now? Master Brooke, a Falstaff's a knave, a cuckoldly knave. Oh, here are his horns, Master Brooke. And Master Brooke, he hath enjoyed nothing of Ford's but his buckbasket and his cudgel.
Sir John, we have had ill luck. We could never meet. I will never take you for my love again. But I will always count you my dear.
I do begin to perceive that I am made an ass. See now how wit may be made a jack-o'-lant when 'tis upon ill employment.
Sir John Falstaff, serve God and leave your desires,
and fairies will not pinch you.
Well said.
And leave your jealousy too, I pray you.
I will never mistrust my wife again.
Have I laid my brain in the sun and dried it, that it wants matter to prevent so gross o'erreaching as this?
Why, Sir John, do you think, though we would have had the virtue out of our hearts by the head and shoulders, and have given ourselves without scruple to hell, that ever the devil could have made you our delight?
Well, I am your theme. You have the start of me. I am dejected. I am not able to answer. Use me as you will.
Yet be cheerful, knight. Thou shalt eat a posset tonight at my house.
Good husband, let us everyone go home and laugh this sport o'er by a country fire. Sir John and all.
Hey! Let it be so, Sir John. To Master Brooke, you yet shall hold your word. For he tonight shall lie with Mistress Ford.
Thank you so much for joining us for this audio presentation of William Shakespeare's The Merry Wives of Windsor. What you have heard tonight is part of our second Sunday Shakespeare series on WVXU and an example of the community and educational outreach that Cincinnati Shakespeare Company brings to our region. Tonight's presentation would not be possible without our season sponsors, the Otto M. Buttig Family Foundation, the John Bridgeland, Crilly, Long, and Mason families honoring James R. Bridgeland Jr., the Ohio Arts Council, the Robert and Adele Schiff Family Foundation, the Carol Ann and Ralph V. Hale Jr. Foundation, and the generosity of tens of thousands of contributors to the Arts Wave community campaign. We also send special thanks to our digital season sponsors, Bartlett Wealth Management and Barnes Denig. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this Cincinnati Shakespeare Company production of The Merry Wives of Windsor, adapted and directed for radio by Jeremy Dubin. You heard the voices of Jeffrey Warren Barnes II, Sarah Clark, Jeremy Dubin, Candace Handy, Cal Harris, Miranda McGee, and Brian Isaac Phillips. The sound engineer was Brian Lloyd, and the production manager was Abby Housen. WVXU is proud to partner with Cincinnati Shakespeare Company to bring you this program with support from WVXU's sustaining and annual members. You can hear this program again at wvxu.org.